Today's message is called Perfect. Perfect. Today's parashat Pekudei, beginning on verse 21 of chapter 38. Ele Pekudei, Hamishkan Mishkan Ha'edut. Ele Pekudei, Hamishkan Mishkan Ha'edut. I wanted to give the message another title, and the title is An Accolade of the Torah. An Accolade of Torah. Today's parashat is Pekudei. These are the accounts, Pekudei or Pikudei, of the tabernacle of the testimony, Hamishkan Mishkan Ha'edut. Exodus 38, verse 21. This word Pekudei, okay, Hebrew Pekudei, can also be pronounced Pikudei, with an I, Pikudei. And it also appears throughout Scripture. It appears a little bit later in this parashat. But it appears prominently in Psalm 19, verse 8. Psalm 19, verse 8. Which Psalm 19, beginning on verse 7, is an accolade of the Torah of Adonai, Torat Adonai. On May 4th, 2024, last year, I shared a message called What is Written in the Heart, which used a portion of this, okay, but we're not doing the same thing. I want you to notice the Hebrew pun, P-U-N, the Hebrew pun here. In the Torah it says, Ele Pikudei Hamishkan Mishkan Ha'edut. Hamishkan Mishkan Ha'edut. Okay? In other words, literally, this should be translated on the Mishkan, a Mishkan of the testimony. Okay? Let me say that again. This should have been translated the Mishkan, HaMishkan, the Mishkan HaEdut, a Mishkan of the testimony. Okay, for anybody who knows a little bit of Hebrew, that's correct. Now, let's go back for a moment and see, this is a pretty nice parashat, but I want to focus on this word that is led me to Psalm 19. Okay. In Psalm 19, verse 7, the eulogy of the Torah begins. I'll say Torah, it should be said Torah, but it's used so much by the Ashkenazim, they say Torah, that we just get used to saying Torah, but the actual pronunciation in Hebrew is Torah. In Psalm 19:7 it says, the Torah of Adonai is perfect. The Torah of Adonai is perfect. About 6 years ago, I shared a message called Perfection. Okay? So this is similar to that message. Perfection is a catchy word. And it's a common word. And it's actually included in the slogans of many businesses. The one that catches my eye is Perfection Auto Repair of Gainesville. They're Latins, and I know of them, okay? Wasn't really sure how perfect it would be. When they first started Perfection Auto Repair, it was on 441 before the bend, okay? And one of the people at work there was named Jesus. And so Jesus worked in the perfection order repair. So I got to ask questions about perfection order repair, and actually they were pretty good. I don't know if they were perfection, but they had a great title, perfection order repair. Okay, all that place right now, there's a pool store that's been put there, expanded. And a little bit further this way, there's a car wash. This is on 441, right across, almost right across the Sunoco station. Okay? If you're going north, Perfection was on the left. If you're going south, you're coming around the bend. It was on the right-hand side in between those buildings there. It's a catchy word, perfection. The Hebrew word for perfect is temima. The Hebrew word for perfect is temima. That's what's used in Psalm 19, verse 7. And it means the following: whole, flawless, unblemished, perfect, honest, upright, ingenious, artless, guiltless, guileless, simple-minded, cherubic, naive, childlike, and unsophisticated. So when the Lord says the Torah of Adonai is perfect, Torah Adonai Temima, all those words apply. I want to focus on the one that the King James chose and most everyone chooses to translate that. Look at all the synonyms. There were almost like 10 of them. The Torah of Adonai is perfect. We call Simcha, we Shomer Torah. Shomer means to guard, to keep. Okay? And so we say we keep Torah. But the actual word is Shomer, which is we guard Torah. We keep it safe in our hearts. But it's a guarding mechanism. Okay? In Kol Simcha, we not only shomer, guard, keep Torah, but we honor, we reverence, and we esteem Scripture. We honor, we reverence, and esteem Scripture. And especially His Torah. I thought it'd be useful to read a little bit of the Hebrew here. I could also sing, the Torah of Adonai is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Adonai is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The Torah of Adonai is perfect. Torah Adonai Temima, which the literal meaning is whole and flawless. Whole, meaning has no holes in it. It's whole, complete. You know, like a whole person is a healthy person. Whole and flawless. Converting the soul. The testimony. This is Eidut. Eidut. Okay? Well, you saw that word. Eidut, which means, okay, testimony, where it says, Mishkan ha-Eidut. Mishkan ha-Eidut, the testimony, the Mishkan of the testimony. The testimony, Eidut, of Adonai is sure. Ne'emana. Ne'emana. Which means it's trusted, trustworthy. It's sure, but it's trustworthy. Making wise the simple. Verse 8, the statutes. Pikudei. Pikudei. The statutes of Adonai are right, yesharim, right and honest, rejoicing the heart. That's the name of today's parashat. Pikudei. Which is pei, kuf, okay, Dalit, Pekuf, there's a vav there. So the vav is actually in the Torah. It gives us, the vav takes the place of an o or a u. Okay? The nikud for that would be, for an o, it's a dot in top. And for an u, it's three dots below. Okay? But notice that between the pay and the kuf, there is no vowel. So it can be pekudei or pikudei. Okay? The statutes, pikudei. Oh. You mean that today's parashat, these are, ele, the statutes. Pikudei, the statutes of the tabernacle of the testimony. It's the statutes of the tabernacle of the testimony. It has a lot more meaning than just, and I could go off on that, and almost did. Almost just stay right there in that scripture and preach for a half hour on what does it mean for it to be the statutes of the, as I read it before, HaMishkan Mishkan HaEdut, okay? The Mishkan, a Mishkan of the testimony. These are the statutes of the Mishkan, a Mishkan of the testimony. See, in the Hebrew, there's more to it than just reading that these are the accounts. That Pikudei is Pekudei or Pikudei has a bunch of meanings, but that's not the most common meaning. The most common meaning of Pikudei is the statutes, like it is in Psalm 19. The statutes of Adonai are right, rejoicing the heart. That means that Pikudei HaMishkan Mishkan HaEdut, the statutes of the tabernacle of the testimony are going to do the following, like it does here. Rejoices the heart. What a difference in the wording here between what I'm saying and what the majority of Christianity imputes on Torah, imputes on the Mishkan, you know, the tent. The tent of the testimonies is translated in the tent of the testimony. A lot of great things happen. In the tents of the testimony, a lot of great things happen that are going to rejoice the heart. How different is that from, oh, that's just a bunch of rituals and a bunch of requirements and a bunch of this and a bunch of that? You know, the problem is that with that kind of teaching, you're certainly not going to read it very much. And number two, you're not thinking you're going to get any blessing from it. But if you actually get into this, if you actually get into the Torah of Adonai, which is perfect, perfect, perfect. No guile. Whole. That word right there, perfect, is also used when Adonai says, when the Lord says, Adonai, Yah Adonai says, you present to me an offering, you know, a lamb of the first year, and it has to be temima. Perfect. Flawless. No damage in it. Unblemished. Got it? The Torah of Adonai is unblemished. And the Torah of Adonai has the same attributes, thank you, Lord, the same attributes as the Lamb of God, as the Lamb of Adonai, which is also unblemished. Is there a connection between the Lamb of God and the Torah of God? do I need to say it here? I mean, somebody tell me, because I need to be informed. Somebody stand up and tell me what it is, the connection between the Lamb of God and the Torah of God. Stand up and say it. Tell them. One of Yeshua's names was HaTorah. The Torah. The Torah that's in there is written in lambskin. Many, many lambs gave their life to give that skin there. Okay? And when it came time for, once Yeshua went up in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, what were they called? Baptists. Episcopalians. Christians. Actually, you keep reading in the book of Acts, and it tells you way over there, like in Antioch, how many years? Anybody want to guess? Where's Eliyahu? Eliyahu Hanavi is here. How many years between Acts chapter 2 and when they're actually called Christians in Antioch? Take a guess. Okay, the prophet just said over 100. I wasn't going to say that many. I was going to say like 15 to 25 to 40. I mean, that's like half my age. But look, so what did they call themselves? What would they call themselves? They call themselves the followers of the way. That's what the word, you know, the words in English say. The followers of Haderech. Haderech, the way. The way, the truth, the life. But they were actually, would call themselves the followers of HaTorah. Because HaTorah became flesh and dwelt among us. The Membra of Adonai became flesh and dwelt among us. The Theos of Adonai became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Yeshua becomes the actual Torah. And he gets crucified for us. He gives up his body, just like the lambs gave their body to write that scroll. The original one was in stone. And it was not chiseled. It was written with the finger of Adonai. Both the one that Moses broke and the one that replaced it were written by him with his finger. How accurate would that be, huh? Wouldn't that be like awesome to get a picture of that, to imagine what that looks like, to imagine that the Lord wrote with his own hand the Torah? The Ten Tablets, the Ten Commandments, and other things. It's hard not to just stop here. But let me finish the psalm since I already started. The commandment, what is commandment in Hebrew? Mitzvot Adonai. Mitzvot Adonai, the commandment of Adonai is pure. That's bara me'irat, which is used to describe pure light. Okay? Enlightening the eyes. Here's the deal. The commandment, the mitzvot, the commandment, being obedient in what the Lord said to do. When you're obedient in what the Lord says to do, what happens? It enlightens the eyes. It gives light to the eyes. And your eyes become sources of light. Have you ever been around people that give you energy with their eyes? I preached a message on that a long time ago. Okay? Have you ever been around people that just depress everything? That have either no light whatsoever, which you look in them and they look like they came straight out of hell. The question is, where are we? And how are we going to get light in there? I believe in Yeshua. So I just get light because I believe in Yeshua. Well, yes. But you want to be enlightened, just like all the enlightenment. Oh, enlightened is the same thing as lighting up a menorah. Lighting up, enlightening is an action of bringing light. You want light in your eyes? Keep the mitzvot. Keep the mitzvot. That's what it says. The fear, Yirat Adonai. Yirat Adonai is clean. Tehura. That's clean and untainted. Enduring forever. The judgments, Mishpatei, which we get the word Mishpatim, which is the Torah portion that went right after Bo. The Torah portion, Bo, we receive the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words. And the parasha that goes after that starts in chapter 21 of Exodus. It's called Mishpatim. From the last words of Mishpatim is Na'aseh v'nishma. Kol diber Adonai Na'aseh v'nishma. Okay? So the Mishpatei of Adonai are true and righteous. Emet tzadku yagdav. True and righteous. Emet tzadku yagdav. Altogether, verse 10, more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Okay? Another verse that we add to that song, let the words of my mouth and the testimony of my heart be acceptable unto thee, Adonai, my help and my redeemer, my rock, my redeemer. So here's the things I want to talk about. I want to have, just take a moment and do an accolade. Originally, I wanted to use a different word. And I'm glad I went in the dictionary and looked for a synonym. I wanted to say the eulogy of Adonai. I want to make a eulogy on the Torah. And when I looked at the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it said eulogy is a making a big deal out of somebody that died. Now, eulogy is not always use that, but in the vernacular language in English, when you say making a eulogy, everybody expects you to talk about somebody that's dead. Okay? Well, I don't want to eulogize the Torah because it's not dead. My God's not dead. No, he is alive. Yes, my God's not dead. No, he is alive. Okay? The Torah is not dead. The Torah is alive. Okay, and it's capable of bringing light to our eyes. It's capable of bringing enlightening to our eyes. It's capable of transforming us into a people that are happy. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Happy is the people. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. He is the people. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Happy is the people, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Okay? Okay, here's my, so I looked up synonyms for eulogy. I wanted something alive. Not in case you see you guys are American. I always thought eulogy was something good. It is something good, but in America, it's used for the dead. Well, I don't want to use the word eulogy anymore. So I picked up a different word, accolades. Accolades, there were like 35 synonyms. 35 synonyms, okay? So I want to give accolades. I want to say awesome things about the Torah of Adonai that is perfect and that it brings light to my eyes And that it lives in the Mishkan of the testimony. By the way, that's where it's going to be, isn't it? This is just Exodus. Where did they put it? Oh, that's why I wanted to have this ready. Because this is the last chapter, the last parashat of Exodus. And it's worth reading what I'm talking about to see if the text actually agrees with my exposition here. Well, I think it does. So I'm going to say five things, five accolades. We keep, that means Shomer, we honor, reverence, and esteem Torah. Why? Because Abba and Yeshua tell us to. I mean, they said so. Isn't that good enough? He said so. See, there's 613 mitzvot, commandments in the Torah, or Torah. But did you know that there's over 1,000 mitzvot associated with Yeshua? He said Torah and a half. What's interesting is that people don't want to follow any of the things that are in the Hebrew scriptures. There's too many commandments. Well, you're going to follow Yeshua. Well, how many commandments you need for that? Well, they go, you just need two. Love God and love your neighbor. You know, that's the Reader's Digest. You cannot get by with just Reader's Digest. You got to read the book. There are over 1,000. Check me out. 1,000 mitzvot in the New Covenant. Yeshua said, if you keep my mitzvot, my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments, mitzvot, of the Father, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you. If you keep my commandments, these things I've spoken to you so the joy will be in there. The joy, the enlightening of the eyes. And your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. As I have loved you. Dun, dun, dun. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. This John 10:12. What is John chapter 10 about? I am the good shepherd. This is the parable of the good shepherd. John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, Yeshua says, he's reminding us that the sheep are not just... Okay? But the sheep are going to do commandments. They're going to do mitzvah. They must be Jewish sheep. Esteem doing mitzvah. No one has greater love than this, the day he laid down his life for his friends. I quoted that scripture when y'all's daughter was interred. Because that's what she did. I'm sorry to bring that up, but we just want to remember her in awesomeness. That she went next door, tried to protect somebody, and in the process, she herself gave her life. Verse 14, you are my friends. You are my friends. When my kids were between the ages of 12 and 19, the third word out of their mouth was always friends. I bet you those two girls can talk about friends. You have any friends? They do? Well, they're precious, the very few. I'll tell you that right now. I had very few in Louisiana. I had none the first semester at Centenary College. Zero. And then the Lord sent Miss, the runner-up of Miss America, happened to be Miss Louisiana, to sit by me in the class on the second semester, music class, for to be teachers. And she looked and said, "What's your name?" And I told her my name, and I'm Auri Antonio Arroyo. And I'm like, and instead of her going, "Oh my God, who is this?" In my broken English, she extended her hand and said, "Welcome. Good to meet you. After class, I want you to go with me someplace." I mean, the lady was beautiful. I was 16 years old. I followed that lady, and she went to bunches of sororities and fraternities. She went into the student union at Centenary College in Shreveport, Louisiana. I'm walking behind her. She was actually quite tall, was wearing a dress. Look, $1 million. Everywhere she went, she said, "This is my friend. This is my friend, Arroyo." Then people started talking to me. I was no longer the outcast. I actually made enough friends that one of them invited me in spring break to go to his farm, where they gave me tea without sugar for the first time. And they gave me tea with sugar. And they made biscuits. And they made gravy. And they made all kinds of stuff like that. Okay? And I ate it all. And learned that, you know what? This food over here in central Louisiana, it's really good stuff. Great corn and everything. In the previous chapter of, this is John, okay? "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." The word "keep" there is the same word, shomer. If you love me, we will shomer my mitzvot. Okay? "He who has my mitzvot and guards them, keeps them, is the one who loves me." So when you say you love Jesus, anybody here love Jesus? Come on now. Yes, I love Jesus. Okay, well, that means to me that you keep his commandments and you guard his commandments. You're not continually trying to get out of them. You're not continually trying to ignore them. You keep them. You guard them. And you know what they are. So 1,000 is not two. Two to the some big number is over 1,000. Two to the tenth. "If you love me, you keep my commandments." Here's what else he said, John 14, 15 and 21. "He who loves me, he will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." What are Yeshua's commandments? Well, the Torah is Yeshua's commandments. He wrote that. But let's talk about the New Covenant commandments for a moment. A commandment is a mandate. A lot of times in Christianity, we just take what Yeshua said as, you don't have to do anything because he loves you. Right? You don't have to do nothing, man. He loves you. That's all you got to know. He loves you. But you don't read the book. If you read the book, he says if he loves you, and you love him, you're going to keep the commandments, just like he kept commandments of his Father. It's not a free ride. We just keep salvation. Yes, he saved us, and that was not on our own accord, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2. But then, you know, once you understand that he took you from where you were just destined to be away from God forever and transformed you, moved you into the kingdom, his kingdom. You've got some responsibility, my friend. You better be looking at what it is that he wants you to do. You better be guarding that. And you better have a good attitude about that. It's interesting to me that they don't want to do 613. They want to do 1,000. We want to do 1,613. That's called simcha for you. A mandate. Whether the mandate is to honor Shabbat, that's now become the suggestion. The fourth commandment is the fourth suggestion. Honor Shabbat. What does it mean? Ask anybody, Tom, Dick, and Harry. And they say, well, Shabbat is Sabbath. Honor the Sabbath. What day of the week is that? Do not murder. Do not lie. To honor our parents. Oh, another suggestion. Another suggestion. One of the famous suggestions, number 5. Honor your father and mother so it may go well with you. So you live long in the earth. How often do you find people that have no honoring of the father and the mother? I mean, there's some father and mothers here. My daughter, hey, it's here for you. But those two girls, it's there for you all. No free passes here. You come to hear the truth, there are no free passes. Everything carries with it a responsibility and a guarding. To eat clean food. To eat food. So, if God doesn't call something food, don't eat it. People say, well, that's keeping kosher, isn't it? I said, fundamentally, the Lord said, this you can eat and this you can't. So, we're going to have Paul violate Torah. We're going to have the Apostle Paul, who was a rabbi of rabbis, violate Torah and tell you that it's okay. I'm telling you what right now. The Jewish, Messianic Jewish movement has difficulty with what I'm saying. I don't think that he had one set of Torah for the Jewish people here, such as Pat, and another set of Torah, a different one, for Marilyn, who's not Jewish, that we know of. Is that like craziness? Well, he had distinctives, you see. He had this for this one and this for that one and that for that one. I understand. So the Kohanim had special things and the Leviim had special things. But when I got grafted into Israel, I'm not going to go to Israel and say, hey, we the people affirm these things are true. Which sound really good, but they're not biblical 100%. Nowhere in the Bible says the pursuit of happiness is in there. The Lord also had some suggestions. Might as well call it suggestions, because everybody treats them as suggestions. You are to rejoice in Sukkot. It's a suggestion. Except when you read it in Hebrew, it's a command. You're commanded to rejoice in Sukkot. Why do we need to be commanded to rejoice in Sukkot? Because we're walking around this earth right now like we got some persimmon, green persimmon in our mouth. We're walking around like we got something we need Xlax for. Walking around like when we're supposed to be walking around the happiest people there is. But we can't. We don't. We walk through life. We go through life. And our rejoicing is minimal. So this is the wonderful life. Come be a believer with me. And all we have is negativity around us. Well, you know, I think that that can be changed. The second thing, we honor, reverence, esteem, keep Torah because it gives us definition. Number two, it gives us definition. The Torah tells me, no, the New Testament says, if you are in Yeshua, you are a son of Abraham and an heir according to his promise. Where in the New Testament is Abraham? Well, it's a little bit over there in the book of Hebrews. There's a little bit in Peter. Okay, where are you going to find the life of Abraham? So that you know who he is. So you know what your daddy, you're a son of Abraham and an heir. What are you an heir of? And the fact is that it says heirs, sons of Abraham. And we just go, okay, well, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons have Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm. I mean, that's all some people know about Abraham. He's a father of faith because he's really talked about a lot in Hebrews. Look, it is true that many Jewish traditions are purely cultural. But the Torah doesn't just give culture. The Torah gives a lifestyle in holiness that transcends culture. The Torah is what gives the descendants of Abraham their identity. If you are the son of Abraham, then you need to go back and find out what it is that you got. If you are Jewish, Pat, if you are Jewish, believing in Yeshua only makes you a completed Jew. It doesn't make anything different. It just takes it to the next level. Number three, we keep honor, reverence, and esteem Torah because that's who we are. What do you mean? The Apostle Paul said that we're new creations. Huh? Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And he also said, for neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, meaning neither being a Jew or not being a Jew, means anything. What? Only being a new creation. Paul said that the biggest thing you can get is become a new creation. Whether you come from the Jewish side or you come from the Gentile side. The word tells us we are completely made over. What's inside of us? Well, that's my message from a year ago, May. What's inside of us is Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. It is the declaration of Adonai. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. With the house of Israel. The same house that we're grafted into. It is a declaration of Adonai. I will put my Torah within them, not the catechism. With all due respect. Not the new covenant. This is prophesying the new covenant. What's he going to put inside us, Torah? Who said that? Adonai said that. I will put my Torah within them. Yes! Like we need another. He seems to be excited, Jeremiah, in here. He's not crying this time. He's excited. He cried in Lamentations. Here he's excited. I will write there on their heart. We have, the Torah is written in our hearts the same way the Ten Commandments was written on tables of stone. And what happens is we've got to take this stony heart and turn it into a heart of flesh. Okay? I will be their God and they will be my people. I thought on that last year. Consider the scripture. For when the Gentiles who do not have Torah do by nature the things of Torah, they are a law unto themselves, even though they don't have Torah. So the excuse, right? Well, I'm not Jewish. That means I don't have to do nothing. I'm not Jewish. I don't have to follow any of that. I'm not Jewish. I don't have to follow the Ten Commandments. Can you find some church that says that you don't have to follow the Ten Commandments? You find one, because I haven't found any. I was a full-fledged member of the Christian church, a Pentecostal one at that. I was an ordained minister in there, an ordained bishop there as well. Okay? Therefore, those people show that the work of the Torah is written in the heart. Their conscience bearing witness and their thoughts switching between accusing or defending them. That's in Romans chapter 2. In this passage from Hebrews, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 33 are quoted. Here's the New Testament, just in case you didn't know. Well, I don't, you know, since you threw away the Old Testament, bye-bye, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a full bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my Torah in their mind and upon their hearts, and I will write it. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no more will they teach each one his fellow citizen and each one of his brothers, saying, Know Adonai, because all will know me from the least to the greatest. That's Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 12. Now, let me tell you something. The Lord said, and he repeated it in the New Covenant, so no excuses. So if all you got was the Gideon Bible, if all you got was the Gideon Bible, it still has Hebrews in it, and it still has Jeremiah 31, 31, and 32 in it. And it says that we are going to have Torah written in our heart. New Testament theology. New Testament theology. So what do? We get some sulfuric acid and pour over it so that it gets marred. Really? The Torah is written in our hearts. New Testament theology. And it is a part of our basic makeup as believers in Yeshua. What should new creations do? What comes naturally to them. And what comes naturally to them is to look in the heart where the Torah is now written. And then do all that is contained therein. Number 4. We keep honor, reverence, and esteem Torah because Yeshua's brother said that was the mirror. Yeshua's brother said that. Yaakov is his name. But in honor of the English king, they called him James. Yaakov, James said we needed to look at ourselves in the mirror to see ourselves through Torah. This is in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Verse 22, but the doers of the word and not the hearers only, deluding themselves. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer, by the way, hearer, is that from here? Let me translate that to English. Shemaiah. And here is Shemaiah. Okay? He's a Shemaiah of the word and not a doer. He's like a man who looks in his natural face in the mirror. But once he looks at himself and goes away, he immediately forgets what kind of a person he was. That's me. I look in the mirror and go ugly. Not pretty. My wife would say, don't say ugly, okay. I want to honor her. Not pretty. But the one who looks intently into the perfect Torah, what? Perfect! Stay with me. The perfect Torah, the Torah that gives freedom and continues in it, not becoming just a listener, but a doer who acts. He shall be blessed in everything that he does. So it is the person who sees themselves in the mirror. The mirror is Torah. Look, by extension, we can say that it's the Bible. Torah is part of the Bible. So we take the book and there's 66 things in it. By extension, looking into the Bible. But specifically, it says the one that looks into Torah. Okay? And remembers that what he looks like. Because Torah tells me that I'm not very, very good. That I couldn't save myself. Torah tells me that I needed Yeshua. And the Lord sent a Goel. A Goel is the kinsman redeemer. I needed a kinsman redeemer. It is the one who does the work that the word requires. The reflection we see in the Torah is one who has been redeemed. And it's not just a bunch of do's and don'ts. It is literally Yeshua in us, the hope of glory. Yeshua in us, the hope of glory. Unless we enter into relationship with HaTorah, the Torah, Yeshua, this whole new realm of Messiah, Messiah's abundant life is unavailable to us. Last thing, we keep honor, reverence, and esteem Torah because I used to sing, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like him. Some of you are going, I didn't sing that. You probably came from a Catholic church or Episcopalian or one of those. Where did you learn that? Marilyn's friend Flo, that they sat me with, going back and forth from Ocala for about several weeks, taught me all these songs. Said, you don't know any good music, Tony. And she starts singing music to me. Still remember every bit of it. Therefore, if the old hymn is to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to be like Yeshua, to be like Yeshua, all I ask is to be like him. How awesome is that? Yeshua, honored, kept, revered, and esteemed the words of his dad. Which he himself delivered. The book of Hebrews says, in the beginning, what's the first verse, 1-3 of the book of Hebrews? It says that all things were made by Yeshua and because of Yeshua, and nothing was made that was not made by him. So if Yeshua made everything, how did he make it with? Legos, that's it. He made them with Legos. No, he just spoke. That's what we read in Genesis. He just spoke. Well, the Father spoke. A better theology is the Father spoke it all to Yeshua and Yeshua spoke it to us. Because he's the connection the connection between the Father and us is Yeshua. You're not going to see the Father. But Yeshua said, if you look at me, if you relate to me, you see the Father. You hear the Father. You connect with the Father. Because I and the Father are Echad. That's another one of his quotes. I and the Father are Echad. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And you better believe that those are listening to this in the Jewish world, hearing Adonai ve'ani Echad. Adonai ve'ani Echad. Are going like, whoa! You just called yourself deity. In conclusion, we have a treasure in jars of clay so that the surpassing greatness of the power that may be from Adonai and not from ourselves. We have a treasure. The treasure in our heart is Torah. That's why we honor, keep, reverence, and esteem Torah. That's why we follow it where it goes. That's why we bring it out and allow us to touch it and be close to it. Because that is the treasure in my heart. I hope it's the treasure in your heart. Shalom.